She has no business trying to be a book. Your sexual life is supposed to be pleasurable, and whatever gives you pleasure is what you're supposed to do, whether it's standing up, laying down in the tub, in the shower, outside the wall, on the floor, on the terrace, anywhere you want to do it, you do it. Anything you want to do and whoever you want to do and how many you want to do it with, as long as they are agreeable. To me, a butch, a femme, or anything else is purely a state of mind. I believe this because even as my good friend Sybil and I give an example, we were going down to a play or something, down to Lincoln Center somewhere to see, I think it was the, what's that folks' name? The Supremes, they were still the Supremes then, and Diana Ross, and at that time, you know, they weren't so open in the dress or anything like that, so anytime you came below 96th Street to see anything, you had to dress in the feminine mode, anything like that, and I had on my Norwegian blue fox stole with the velvet bow and stuff and everything like that, and I was just walking. Sybil said, you look just like a farmer behind the plow, had a bag and everything, because it's just a state of mind. It's just how you feel, how you react and doing everything. I don't want people to think, to ever get the impression. Now, there may be some people that think that if they put on a masculine looking outfit is going to do something for you. But if it's not there, it's not there. I don't care what you put on. If you don't think like a butch, then you are not going to act like a butch. And if you look like a butch and draw someone who wants a butch, and then you take them home, even if you're not in the bed and you can't even speak and act on other things like a butch, then that person is not going to perceive you as a butch. That does not mean that you cannot wash dishes. That does not mean that you cannot do chores around the house. That does not mean that you cannot be helpful. It is only a state of mind. These people that say that they cannot wash dishes because they are butch, they are crazy.
But can I ask you something, Jeanette? You've been saying that being a butch then is a state of mind,
right,
in your head.
Right.
Well, then what are some of the components of this? What are some of the parts of this then? If it isn't a question of dress or what you do or so forth, what then?
Let me interrupt you. I didn't say it was a matter of dress.
No. I was addressing the
Diana. Oh, I beg your pardon.
No. Well, to me, well, first of all, my counterpart, whoever I'm having a relationship, I only perceive them as a feminine woman. You understand? I perceive them that way. I perceive myself as the protector, the major provider. No one can provide for any one person alone without help. But, you know, in the relationship, if we're going to a dance or something like that, I just automatically take upon myself the obligation, getting the tickets, making the arrangements, or whatever it is that the more aggressive or masculine person in this relationship would do.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear. Aggressive or masculine. Right. All right.
But that does not mean that there are not femmes that are very aggressive, too. You know, you see, people always equate aggressiveness with being a butch.
No, I just wanted you to speak out.
Right. But it's a position that you see yourself in, of opening doors, lighting the cigarettes, bringing the gifts, and whatever, the whole bit. Yeah.
I think there's one thing you're missing, Janae, and you just said how you perceive yourself, but unfortunately, in the whole scheme of things, it's how others perceive us. In other words, how we think people are looking at us, how our peers are looking at us. Mm-hmm. Now, here you are, you classify yourself as being a butch. Now, how do my fellow butches or sister butches look at me? Do they see me as keeping up the qualifications of being a butch, or am I letting them down? Now, what you do, like you said, behind closed doors, what you do with your woman is your business. But when you get out there in the streets, and when you get out there with your peers, then you have to act a certain way, or else certain things people are going to start talking behind your back, or you're going to start thinking that people are talking behind your back, or you're going to, or think your woman might be saying something behind your back, or whatever. That it's like almost like a feeling that you have to make sure that, you know, okay, that, you know, I may feel this way, I might do that, but make sure that my my front is.
Yeah, that's the word. Okay. There is a front that you do have to live up to. There is a front.
That's the problem.
There is a certain reputation that you do have to live up to and stuff and things like that. Maybe because I've been doing it for so long, and I just do it I may not even be aware of it. That I know there are just certain things that I do and don't. I know that there are certain places that I would not go dressed like this. This is not hard enough. I know that there's a certain group of friends that I got to get into my old rag bag, the shoes, the suit, the shirt, the coat, and everything, you know, mm-hmm. when I'm going with them. You know, it is sometime, I imagine, could be a strain if you let it, but I just don't let it.
All right. First one, two. Three. One, two, three, okay? That we can define ourselves is what you're saying.
Because I'm a woman, and what I do has to do with being a woman. It has to do with being a feminist. And some, I know that the common the language that we use, or you know, our common culture, our larger culture that we use, says these things are masculine. But I don't wanna accept that, and I don't wanna. You know, I wanna use the term and know that it doesn't mean like being like a man. The way I feel, I mean, we understand it when those of us who get accused of by other people of if you like classical music, you're trying to be like them. I don't think classical music belongs to
white people. People.
No. Exactly. Nor does being strong or powerful or aggressive belong to men. Is that what you're saying?
Lighting cigarettes or helping people, you know, I mean, to me, lighting cigarettes and helping somebody carry cash. It's not something that a man does for a woman, necessarily. It's something that one person who feels strong at that time or wants to do something nice to somebody does. And it's not, it doesn't belong to men, and I want to call it masculine, and I don't want to think it's something that
I
want to do. If I want to dress it, it doesn't set me apart, and it doesn't stop me from being a feminist. And I want to, just wanted to say that, because I didn't know you
being yourself is. You don't have to worry about what Peter, Paul, Mary Jane, and Sue are saying, because I don't. All you have to do is be yourself and love whoever you're with. And then know yourself, because if you want to feel a little more this than that, you can be a little more this than that, whatever it is. But you don't have to say, well, I just don't like, how do you say that, indiscriminate
fucking?
I didn't want to say it, but that's what I'm saying.
Okay, I would like to, I would like to interject here very quickly, which is that because I don't want this to become, I think that this is a discussion and there are many differences here and many different opinions. I don't want it to become a question only of a generational thing because I don't think that it is. So therefore, I'm going to say that I come out of, for instance, the same, I think, time span that you do, Janae, and what in the 40s and 50s I felt was a great deal of putting down and rejection as a black lesbian, as a gay woman, which is what they were called then, who did not play roles, you see? And so, therefore, it was not a question of not being free to be myself, because, of course, I was. I couldn't be anything else. But really, the reaction that brought from, say, in many of the groups, in many of the groups of black women that I moved in.
Let me ask you a question. Did you have
any
discrimination?
What did you say?
Oh, no. You did not?
No, not at all. Not at all. But I, no, but I don't understand what the question was.
You say that you didn't have a role playing type thing when you were coming out. Is that correct?
That's right.
But it still wasn't indiscriminate. I mean, these people, I understand, they have a friend this week, this is next week. I don't understand how they can.
Oh, I see. I see what you're saying then. That
what their real thing is, you know. All mm-hmm. right, I understand that it's not love, it's love.
That's what I don't understand. You just said something. First of all, I do not indiscriminately fuck anybody. You give me, I'd have a downright heart attack if I did that. First of all, I do not approach people, you know, one today and another tomorrow. I consider myself a bad monogamous also. I do not, whoever I am with that person. That is it. I don't look at another woman. I don't care about what she does, who she's with, or whatever. I don't know about looking at her, the woman I'm with. So in that sense, the word, you know, if I'm a butch, then I'm a butch. I don't want nobody looking at my woman. If I'm a, I could think a femme would do the same thing, you know, no, unless she's some kind, you know.
No, I don't think but I don't think she means it. Being the coming out the school with Sybil, she's not speaking of the.
No,
she's not speaking of the non role playing. Most of the people that you meet who are not into role playing, their excuse is that they don't. The ones that most of them that I have come in contact, cannot speak for all of them.
Okay.
I've only met a few recently. In a certain group, and maybe it's because the group that they related to that they use this, but it's a group of people that I have met that they say they are not into role playing and they are into open relationships also.
Oh, but you're making the but you're saying that
wait a minute, and I've been saying that, and I think that's what Sybil is really asking.
I think that Sybil is equating non-monogamy and role-playing. And what I'm saying now, I think perhaps if we had had more time, one of the cross-cultural conflicts we should have dealt with was monogamy versus non-monogamy. But of course we didn't. All right, let's go on there. So we're going. Betty? When I give, right, and in terms of, I'm a very independent person, first of all, so even though I'm a femme, and I'm the passive one in the relationship, I can stand alone at all times. I don't look to anyone to support me. I do that myself. Help is welcome, you know, from my lover, but it's not necessary, okay?
How do you, when Janae defines, say, for instance, being, you know, butch, what do you feel is the core, the central of being?
The primary thing in it, I think, is this feeling of being protected and cared about emotionally by this one person who is, like, stronger, in a sense, than I am. It's not so much that they have to take care of me, because I can take care of myself. But just that it's kind of a common bond.
I didn't write that.
First of all, would you restate that again?
That what happens in the butch-femme relationship is that it begins to resemble the heterosexual relationship in terms of that male power.
Oh, that's what I wanted to say. But first of all, there is no. There is no power within a relationship. One person should have no more power than the other. You understand? No matter, right. You see, first of all, a person First of all, a person only takes power if the other person allows them to. You see, no matter what you call yourself or whatever it is, you know, if the other person does not allow you to take power, then there's no power taken. My personality is such that even were I not a lesbian and I were in a, God forbid, a straight relationship, I would want to run the show. You understand? This is my personality. Anyone that knows me, if we're giving any kind of affair, I'm an order giver. You know, a supervisor. And if I'm was in, even if it's a husband-wife relationship that's accepted by our so-called society, I would be the one that would be given the orders. I guess my husband, people would say he was henpecked, because this is my personality. So it is not because I consider myself a butcher or anything like that that I would do this. This is just me. I know some people that consider it are in the butch role that are very passive. They are very soft. They are really the follower. Their lover is the one that has all the brains, the one that initiates anything that they do that's good for them. You know, so it really has nothing to do with that.
We're going to have to begin to pull us together because we're under a little time constraint. So there are two, Joan and then Mary.
And wait a minute, this lady over here.
Oh, wait. No, wait.
Oh, okay.
I've been a femme over 20 years now, okay? And all I want to say is I feel that how we live our lives is so incredibly complicated that to ask any woman up there at this point to summarize the erotic, the emotional, the political, the intellectual content of life is really unfair. That we as a people are just beginning to explore what these things mean. And one of the problems is language. For instance, I always loved women who called themselves butches. I never saw them as men. I never loved them because they were men. I never felt we were modeling heterosexual relationships. I have a different experience than
Virginia.
Right, as a femme. But we're not monolithic femmes. We're not monolithic butches. But why I'm making it a plea for is that, one, I think language is trapping us. I don't think the words masculine and feminine, there was a grid placed on behavior. And so butch and femme grew out of that grid. I think the butch-femme relationship, to me, stands for erotic confidence. And that if it's very deep, it's very complicated. I don't think anyone should go away here feeling smug about anything, is what I'm basically pleading for. We are just beginning to look at our culture as a way of people do. And that's basically, I mean, it's a very, I know if anyone asks me, what 20 years of my lesbian life sum up in 5 minutes what it is to be a femme, it would be so easy to use the wrong words, because the only words I have are the wrong words. I'm looking for the right words. I know it meant loving women with every inch of my soul.
Good.
Good. Mary?
Those that do go out there and act like over when, if you, you know, using common sense or using some observation instead of having your head up in the cloud or on whatever you're on, and deal with people being real people, realistically deal with each other on a social level, because there's more to socializing than dancing, getting high, it's talking. I like to sit down and look at fish sometimes, or sit down and play cards. You know what I'm saying? It's changing. If we're going to change in this decade that we're in now, then let it be, you know, more or less, okay, that's just yourself. But give me some sort of guidance towards, I mean, how do I approach and say, can I talk to a woman? Because I don't want to offend anybody, and I don't want to be offended either. And that's part of my reason why I'm so quiet. I like to speak, but I can't.
Okay. I think that we're going to wind this up now, because that will leave us some time, I think, to circulate and to speak to each other, because there are probably things that we want to say to different individuals. I would like to thank all of you for being here, for sharing the things that we have had to say, and I would like to say again, I think what comes out of this is, particularly this second half, is what I said from the very start, which is what is important is that we begin, that we ask ourselves these questions, and that we recognize that the need for identity and for self-definition is an ongoing process and is one that is very, very necessary, right? Because if we do not define ourselves, if we do not aggressively seek our self-identity, no matter what that might be, someone else will identify us and it will never be what we want. Yes, the conference, for the follow-up, right? We are, in a sense, information gathering, information sharing, and the conference, I think, will provide a great deal. Who would like to speak? Would you speak again for the conference?
Oh. Tell them that we're going to pursue this further and longer, if they like.
What will happen at the conference about black lesbians in the fall is that we will take these panel discussions that have been most interesting, and all of them will be, and they will be duplicated at that conference. But what we also need is to have your input into the conference, and there's some questionnaires back there. There's a fly along one, it's legal size, and we'd like for you to take that and fill it out, particularly if you have anything, resources and or skills that you might want to share with other women at that conference. We need your help, we want your help. And in closing, the Committee for the Visibility of the Other Black Woman, the Black Lesbian, would like to thank you all for coming. Mm-hmm. We urge you to come to the June 28th presentation at Hunter College. Remember, it's a slideshow, an exhibition, African Women in Antiquity, Lesbian Themes Among the Amazons, African. Diana's going to do it. You want to talk about it?
I teach Afro-American history and African art at New York City Community College, and this particular presentation is going to be done specifically on the, it's going to be pertaining to women in Africa and how they are perceived in art and in history. And I'm going to be focusing on those themes where, although they're not mentioned, where you find that these women lived without men. They had societies which were arranged without men, or they were the sole rulers, like those like the Rain Queen from Lovedu, which is in South Africa, who, just to give you a synopsis of her, she is supposed to be immortal, and she reigns without a husband or a male monarch, yet she has children and she has wives. There's also the Amazons of Dahomey from the 16th, 17th, and 18th centuries, who were women warriors, who were more aggressive than even many of the men warriors, who numbered some 10,000 at their height, and also did not have husbands or any type of male counterparts who lived with them. So these are some of the things we're going to be talking about. In addition, female goddesses, African goddesses, because a lot of goddesses we hear about, many people are getting into goddess culture, either from Europe or from North Africa, but there are many goddesses who are south of the Sahara Desert, mm-hmm. from the Yoruba people in Nigeria, from Guinea, from places in Ghana. And we should know about these goddesses, okay? This particular piece of art is from the Ivory Coast. It is of a female ancestor. And we should know about what it means to be an ancestor, who can become an ancestor, and what do female ancestors mean to us, and how we can communicate with them and how they can help us. So this is what this particular presentation is going to be about. So I hope you all come out for that.
All of our panelists, because most of them, with the exception maybe with about three of them, these are women who for the first time wanted to come and share their experiences with us, and we're very happy about that. They're faces that we don't often see, and that's something that that the committee is doing. If we want to let people know that there are black lesbians out there, and we want you to know who they are, and so we go out into the black lesbian community and we snatch you and we say, hey, come and sit on our panel. We snatch you. Be ready to come and help us, please. And thanks again.